Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app.
Get tender USDA choice boneless chuck roast or stew meat for $6.99 a pound. Then get 2 liter bottles of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $1.49 each, all with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As a leader, inspiring your team and maintaining this drive and energy is crucial, which also means that managing your own emotional state is a key, right? And the ups and downs and this kind of a roller coaster, you really have to know your, in a way, recovery plan when you hit your lows, right? Which means that it's not just your logical self who will help you figure this out. It's something else.
Why did I become an executive coach? I saw lots of great people fail to get ahead at work, while their much less talented peers blew right past them. That made me furious, but also curious. What were great people getting wrong? It came down to helping them re-examine what drove success and then helping them make critical shifts, one hard truth at a time.
Feel like you're doing everything you were told, but you're not moving ahead at work nor having the impact you seek? Then welcome to 97% Effective with Michael Winderoth, where we skip feel-good, happy talk and engage experts in pointed conversations about what it really takes to move the needle at work and your career. So if you feel stalled or frustrated or seek that extra edge as you move to the next level, then look no further. This is the Hard Truths Playbook you never got.
Hi, I'm Michael Winderoth, and you're listening to 97% Effective. She can work through walls. That's how people who know today's guest most often describe her. And if there's one word that sums up Julia Grace Samoyenko, founder and CEO of Asteri AI, it is transformation. Julia has led transformation at Fortune 500 companies, most notably as director at Medtronic, the global medical device maker. And more recently, she's helping top companies transform by more efficiently and effectively upskilling their workers through her company that she founded, Asteri AI, based in Silicon Valley. But the most profound transformation that Julia has led is the transformation of herself. And that's enabled her to shift from big corporate to startup founder and CEO. It's a shift, bluntly speaking, that many people talk about doing, but few have the perseverance, grit, and guts to do. Very excited today. I'm going to discuss with Julia the important shifts and failures that have enabled her transformation. We're going to talk about how to find the right environment, why, when, and how you need to put yourself first, and keys to building the right team around you. Julia, very excited to have you on. Welcome to 97% Effective.
Thank you so much, Michael, and thank you for having me. Thank you.
So, Julia, I have known you for years, although mainly back when you were at Medtronic, jetting around the world, leading transformation at the company. You scooped up more than half a dozen awards there for your work. So first, I want to congratulate you on your work at Medtronic, but also on your journey since, namely bootstrapping Asteri AI to where you are today, on the verge of taking it to the next level and getting to the next round. So congratulations on the accomplishment. How does that feel?
Thank you so much, Michael. It's incredibly fulfilling, although we know that building a startup or leading a startup always means that you chase your next milestone. I definitely am grateful, and it feels actually incredible to see how far Asteri has come. We are in this unique time in our life when we know that we are driving transformation of the workforces globally. And with everything that has happened and continue happening in this AI, definitely we know that's the future. So grateful and energized to continue pathing the way.
You've mentioned how much challenge exists in starting up a company. And you know, the show is about cutting to hard truths, right? About accelerating your career and amplifying your impact. As you here at the beginning, reflect on that path and the transformation from big corporate to founder and CEO. Is there one hard truth you would call out that you want people to know?
Yeah, absolutely. The one hard truth about transitioning from working for Fortune 500 companies to being a founder and CEO is unfortunately the fact that the journey is often far from glamorous. So the journey of the founder and CEO is actually a tough one. You spend enormous hours on building the company, and you also have all those emotional highs and lows. This is definitely not the Hollywood version of entrepreneurship. It's truly about facing the gritty realities and persevering through them.
Julia, for a little context, I know you're a constant learner. I think this is going to be a theme in the podcast. Almost everything you take is kind of a learning opportunity. But just to give people a sense, like, what is a high, what is a low that you have gone through at Asteri?
Yeah. So, for example, one of the amazing successes that I was happy to achieve, which is definitely can be considered as my high moment, is when we were able to sign our first customer within 2 months. It took us 2 months, and it's very short amount of time for a startup to land your first client. So I was extremely happy and excited about that. At the same time, one of the low moments was the fact that when we were transitioning, there were certain milestones that we were supposed to achieve. I realized that, unfortunately, the team that I had at that time and who I was working with had some delays. We had some technical delays, and it's becoming really tight for us to fix them. So it was very much of a tough moment for us because we were not able to, but those are probably maybe two good examples.
What pulled you out of that low moment?
Yeah, so there are certain personality traits that I have that I think are very essential for any entrepreneur, for any founder and CEO. You must have them because otherwise it's going to just be too hard for you to handle those low moments. I have this grit and perseverance and determination, so I was very determined to figure this out. And I was also able to sort of stretch myself during that time to be able to work long hours, to be able to seek for advice and help, and also just to think well about, and maybe in terms of what else can you do, but also measure the risks. So I think you, as an entrepreneur, you should measure the risks. So when you know them, then you can come up with a plan B, plan C, but you know that the failure is not an option. So you just must figure this out. Definitely. At some point, you cannot constantly do it all the time and you get tired. I realized later that having perseverance and determination, that's not enough to actually to win this game.
This is kind of how do you bend but not break?
Yes.
Bend but not break. We're going to come back to that because those who can persevere can also burn themselves out. And how you have managed yourself, I think, is very instructive. When we spoke before, it was a great conversation. You had pointed out what I kind of took away is kind of three things that have been very helpful to you. The first one was you made this comment I found really interesting and love to talk about it more of picking the right environment. And you've kind of said this is really essential to thinking about the right environment that gives you energy, that helps you thrive. And environment can mean lots of things. So maybe share a little bit about what you mean by that.
Yes, absolutely. Eventually, I think having the right environment, I have three things to share. So number one, you must have people who can give you this realistic feedback. People who can tell you the hard truth, who can bring you back to the reality that you have. The number two is you have to make sure that you have the experts who can you rely on and who can also help you with certain areas where they can also, in a way, tell you the hard truth. But having the experts, it's really important. And the number three is having truly, people who inspire you and just give you good energy and bring you good energy. So to me, it came down to those three things. And I'm happy to tell you a little bit more about what it truly means for me. So realistic feedback is very important because, unfortunately, in the beginning of this journey, I would have the environment, I would have people who would, in a way, support me and give me advice. But sometimes the advice would be very, very flattering. And it kind of would felt good. But I would then later understand that this is not exactly what's happening here. And if I would just continue listening to them, to this feedback, most probably I actually won't make it. At the time, I did not have enough wisdom to see it maybe faster, but now I know. Consulting or having experts, what I mean here is that, and it's something that I didn't probably see in such an extreme way as I'm seeing this here in Silicon Valley. There are a lot of people who they say they advise startups, they work with startups, they do something to help startups, right? And knowing who is the expert in the field, who you can truly get advice and actually listen, and knowing who is not, it's very important. Because for you, it's not just advice that you take, you actually you built your product based on this, for example, or you built your go-to-market strategies. And again, it took me time to figure this out. I eventually became smarter and wiser of knowing who is who. And basically, you just make those decisions faster in terms of, can this person really help you or not? And then the number three about having people who inspire you and kind of bring you good energy, I think it's also just sometimes you want to somehow, I guess, have this good energy around you and you want people who inspire you, who keep you motivated. And it's not necessarily that you actually need to talk about your startup or business model, or sometimes they might have, those individuals might have the entrepreneurial experience or not. It's probably less important, but just have people who can help you go through maybe tough times. And in this category, probably some of my friends would just be in this category, because not all of them necessarily are former founders and CEOs, but they support me, they inspire, and they I know that I can rely on them. And I can call them and I can reach out if I truly need help or I just need to talk to someone.
This point that you mentioned of having great people around you versus those who are going to make, be yes people, say things that make you feel good, flatter you. I often find that we often think that we're good at detecting that, but we're often not so much. You mentioned you now have more of the wisdom and some of the gut. Is that something just takes time, or is there anything that your spidey senses tingle when you someone's around you and is using it too much? Is there a way to kind of detect between who really knows their stuff and is being genuine and constructive versus who's just saying what you want to hear and pretending to be an expert?
Unfortunately, in my case, it just took me time. Mm. And at some point, you just understand, okay, something is wrong. I heard this too many times and it's not helping me. And in my case, yeah, just the time, what it means now that I'm hopefully just faster to see it, because you don't have the luxury of spending too much time on this. And if you are wrong about certain decisions that you make as a founder and CEO, the price is just too high that you pay. They don't pay this price. You pay this price. So it's actually on you. Yeah, it took me months and months and months of listening to this, and then eventually I realized, okay, there's something that I need to change.
Yeah. And I'd add there that the price is not only you, but now as CEO, you're running the organization, right? So that as kind of the role of the leader there is to be serving the larger organization, whether that's your investors or your employees. I also detect, Julia, I think this is really interesting. As I've known you, I mean, perseverance, grit, the other words that come to mind, and I think are related to your personality here, is you're very rational thinking, right? Excellent at analysis. And what I've detected in our conversation, you've brought up a couple times already, is this paying attention to the emotional side and the feelings. And I, you know, a fair swath of clients I work with and people out there are very rational. They see the logic and not so much the emotion. How have you integrated that? Because I think it's really important to have the balance.
Yes, absolutely. And you're very right, Michael. I indeed, in my sort of past life in a corporate environment, I definitely been relying on my rational self. But I realized that this entrepreneurial journey, it requires you to explore your other skills. And actually, Aster is all about skills. So I'll try to use the language of skills in our conversation. So in a way, it's actually a skill that I had to develop, and I'm still definitely still exploring. As a leader, inspiring your team and maintaining this thriving energy is crucial, which also means that managing your own emotional state is a key, right? And the ups and downs and this kind of a roller coaster, you really have to know your, in a way, recovery plan when you hit your lows, right? Which means that it's not just your logical self who will help you figure this out. It's something else. It's to balance logic and emotions. It's very important. And what it meant to me is that I started to explore this space. I started doing meditations. I started to do yoga. I actually hired a coach to help me just be more holistic in the way how I live, because I realized that it seems to be that it's impossible to figure out entrepreneurship without knowing how to manage your own emotions. So this is just the space that I'm exploring. I also rely on my intuition when it comes to making decisions about team members, about certain direction for the company that we have to pursue. And that's actually an exciting journey of transformation, my personal transformation that I'm going through. And I am glad to be able to be a learner and keep learning and exploring.
I want to call out two things that I see and I heard there is, one is to think about this as a skill that can be learned, like emotional intelligence gets overused, but it's almost like, hey, I can be rational and learn analysis, but I can also upskill on paying attention to my emotions. And I guess I'll turn this back at you. It also feels like this is the how you bend but not break. This is kind of the key to that, because you alluded to, or you said you meditate, and even the way you talked through it, you seem very in control of yourself and your emotions. Is that fair characterization, or would you add anything to that?
Yeah, it seems to be the formula, Michael, right? Mm. First of all, I'm still exploring, right? But I fully agree with you that it has to be balanced, and it's not enough to rely on your logical self. And I have many examples of when I realized that I really must focus on the way how I feel, and also and making sure that I have the energy that I can share with the team. Because as a leader, what your team wants from you, they want to see your vision, see your determination, of course, but also they want to be inspired. And it's very important to share this with them. And it's very important to make sure that you have it yourself, right? That you're at the right energy state, ideally every day of your journey.
Yeah, very good research that energy and emotions are contagious, right? So what you're presenting, what you're emitting, very much others around you, particularly when you're the leader, they absorb and affects them. Which brings up reflection number two that you had commented on. And this goes to the point of balance, but it also runs counter to what many people say, which is, this number two insight that I heard you say was putting yourself first. And let me say, right, you know, there's servant leadership, leaders eat last, all of these other parts. You've talked about how there have been moments, right, where you've come close to burning yourself out because you put everyone else in front of yourself, yet you were able to make some of those shifts, reprioritizing, and frankly, doing some things for yourself first. Say more about this point. I think it's really important in terms of balance and managing burnout.
Yeah. So again, this is just something that I've learned. Unfortunately, I Not that I didn't know this before, but when you're living this life of being an entrepreneur and founder and the CEO, it's just something that in a way, truly, I had to learn. So, and I've learned by making mistakes and in a way, failing partially. I shared with you that initially I bootstrapped the startup, right? So it meant for me that the stake of succeeding was really important for me. And plus, you kind of marry this up with my determination and perseverance. And then, of course, you are in the situation when you would do pretty much anything to make sure that it's a success and you really want to figure this out. And then it also meant that you would truly prioritize the team over you. You would prioritize them in terms of them obviously getting paid first and making sure that it's all on time and it's, you know, without any delays. That's an example. You would prioritize them, for example, having reasonable hours of when they work. Many times I would have to stay very extremely late to finish up certain work. There were other many examples, but eventually what happened to me that I was very close to burnout and I realized that I had to somehow get out of this situation in a more healthy way. So first of all, I have to learn from it. So what did I learn from this? And I had a person who worked with me over a couple of weeks. And there are some practical things that I started doing. So first of all, you have to deeply understand that you must prioritize yourself, or at least you have to pay attention at the way how you feel, the way how you, what you do, how you spend your day, how you, the number of hours you work. Do you work on the weekends? Do you have your sort of just in general how you spend your days, right? But yeah, some practical things. So we started when I worked with the coach. So we started with basically looking at my schedule. So we looked at my schedule and we changed the way how I structured the day, working days. Second of all, just recognize that, for example, you preferably should have the better environment where you work. Some very simple things. Do you have enough light in your room where you work, for example? Do you like your desk? Is it comfortable? Do you, can you go for a walk, for example? Do you have a place where you can walk? You definitely need breaks during the day for coffee or for tea, right? So you kind of have to have the environment and the setup being done in the way that you actually enjoy it, because you can force yourself. You can definitely spend long hours of working, right? So what can you do to actually eliminate this situation? Because entrepreneurship is a long journey. So it's your choice. You can burn out and be done, right, in 6 months. So you can actually become wiser and do it differently. So that's just what I learned so far. But again, it's still pretty much of a journey for me. Yeah. I'm still figuring this out and learning this actually every day.
And it's super practical, too. I like what you said there. I mean, and I think it's what people out there listening can do. Go take a look at your schedule, right? And you can make some adjustments, right, that dependent on each person. And also, I mean, some of these changes of taking care of yourself don't have to be radical. They can be have a, you know, better environment that you're working in, light and getting out in nature. So I like those very practical things that you've done. And like you said, think about it like a journey and build that in to that your work culture and what you're doing. So it's exciting to see some of those transformations.
You've been listening to 97% Effective with your host, executive coach, Michael Winderoth. If this interview is making you think, make sure to share it with a friend. Now, back to our interview.
And that takes us to the third area that I really picked up on what you said, and you've alluded to this about having the right team. And I would differentiate this, you mentioned kind of the right environment, but the team, I think, let's take this to like a very practical level, because I want to paint this picture. I think people don't necessarily realize it because we're talking to a CEO in Silicon Valley who's, you know, taking their company to the next level. But if we roll back the clock, okay, so large corporate Julia moves to Silicon Valley, really no network, okay? And I'm painting this picture. Grand ideas, super perseverance, and, you know, knows that she wants to be an entrepreneur. It's in, kind of in your blood and your ambitions. But early on, I mean, I recall you saying a lot of people challenge you, think you're unqualified. And in Silicon Valley, it is a hyper-competitive environment. You also worked in China, super competitive environment. And you're getting, as you alluded to, some bad advice early on. And then we flash forward to today, right? You've put some really amazing advisors around you, clearly transformed yourself and the company. Connect some of the dots here for us, right? How did you get these right people into your orbit? And, you know, from learning from some of those failures, like how would you have accelerated that path? I guess that's very helpful for people out there as they think about moving to new environment, no network, and have a grand idea.
Yeah. So again, it's unfortunately have taken me a long time to figure this out. I wish I would learn this faster, but it was just really hard for me to find the right people. That's just the hard truth. So I started this company myself. So I was the solopreneur, and my goal was to find the right individuals who would join me on this journey. So I didn't have a co-founder, a person who kind of started this together with me. And so again, it was just a probably a little more challenging initial setup that I had compared to maybe other startup founders who would do it more jointly in the beginning. But I was really determined to figure this out too, because in a way I was kind of curious. Okay, so how do you do it? So I had a lot of curiosity as I was figuring this out. So earlier this year, and I think I've shared this example with you when we spoke over the phone, right, to the interview. So I met this amazing individual earlier this year at the conference. Her name is Kelly. And Kelly is really passionate about supporting female founders. And she was a female founder herself. And she was just really extremely helpful on guiding me on this path. And I am extremely grateful for, first of all, my friendship with her, for her advice, and for her, just for her being in my life, because she's definitely one of the people who I rely on a lot.
With Kelly, that friendship and mentorship has really propelled you. And I want to press you on this, because you had mentioned, like, find the right people, cultivate and build that relationship. I mean, take us very practically. Like, how did you do that? Did you just go up and walk up and talk to Kelly? There's probably some serendipity, but there's stuff that, you know, that relentless part of perseverance. How did you do that? Or what would you advise as the key to finding and cultivating an important relationship?
Yeah. Well, I was looking for great people to meet and to, you know, who either can support me as advisors or friends or mentors, or ideally join the team. And I think my request to the universe probably been really clear. And I was looking and looking, right? And then I still struggle to meet those people maybe faster, right? Definitely it's something more about serendipity than relying on my very logical self. So I was on my way to the conference where Kelly was actually a speaker. And I looked at the agenda, I looked at the speakers, and there were many other speakers. So I reached out to her, and she was extremely kind and nice, and she responded, which is also very, I would say, still unusual for someone who is there at the C-suite position at a big company here in the Silicon Valley. So she was really friendly, and she was very open to hear me out and, you know, give feedback or mentor me. And that's something that is actually was really great to see that it, you know, still exists in this world.
So you may say luck, right? Or serendipity.
Yeah.
And certainly, yeah. I think everyone underestimates how much luck is needed, but preparation and then seizing that moment when it presented itself. And that relationship, you know, continues and sounds like it's really helping you as you navigate this next phase of growing your company. Fantastic example. I want to end, Julia, with a question, because there are a lot of folks out there who are in large corporate. They do have this desire to kind of move over. And oftentimes the number one thing that I see is kind of when they move over, they don't know how to always translate their experience. And you said you went through a process where you went through self-doubt as people challenged and questioned you, but then you kind of came into your own and have learned how to both communicate that, but it's really become an asset for you as you work with a lot of Fortune 500 companies and helping them transform. Can you just share how you identify what is most valuable and how that's useful in communicating it out?
Absolutely. Yeah. So from I asked myself this question many times, right? So, and I actually have had to answer this question many times too when I was speaking with investors and customers even, right? How's my corporate experience translates to experience of a founder and a CEO? So at Medtronic, I had many roles, and eventually I made it to the director level, and I had a truly fantastic career. I moved twice as an expat. I worked and lived in different regions and countries. Fantastic career, but there is one experience that truly helped me become hopefully a successful founder and CEO. So at Medtronic, I was actually in a way leading and building a startup, internal startup, and I consider myself entrepreneur because I was given an idea and my goal was to pretty much figure this out. So I had to put together a business case. I got the funding. I was able to build a team and eventually build the product, work with all the regional counterparts, collect the requirements, build the product, deploy this product to thousands and thousands of customers globally with the help of regional offices. And eventually I spent, I think, up to 4 years doing that. I could have had many other roles, but I really chose to go through this experience. And actually it was the most helpful one and something that I am relying on when it comes to certain decisions that I'm making right now in my role as a founder and CEO of Asteri.
Yeah. Julia, you're very thoughtful. I love how you have transformed yourself and made this transition that so few make, big corporate to founding and growing Asteri. AI. Anything I didn't ask that you want to just call out?
Yeah. So as I was thinking about also about this interview and certain practical things, I have five things that I pretty much didn't know before, which I really would like to share with the audience. So number one is that entrepreneurship is a choice. Sometimes when I struggle, sometimes when I feel trapped, I always remind myself that I chose this path. And it really just helps you have this perspective that you are in control. Number two is that how you feel matters. And prioritizing your health is essential. Having a reliable team is crucial. Number four is I truly believe that it's extremely important to have someone who inspires and believes in you. In a way, having a role model or someone who you can really reach out, but also just truly have this inspiration is important. And Kelly is this person for me, and I told her this many, many times. And number five, the ability to create and build things, the ability even to fail and learn from your mistakes, but having this time in your life that you can do it, I think it's a gift. And I think we absolutely have to use it wisely. So those are my five things that I wanted to share with everyone.
Five things. You need to write an article, too, around that. I know you've been speaking a lot and being quoted a lot about Asteri and upskilling the workforce. But I think those are fantastic. I think it points out these parts that we've talked about, having the right people around you. But this very central part, which you said here about kind of choice, being an agent, right, of agency and, you know, doing things that probably a lot of people aspire but never do. Julia, how do people see your work, Asteri AI, connect to you?
Yeah, so we have a website, and there is a form on the website, so we will be happy to connect with anyone who is interested in learning more about the company, our solution, and how we work with companies, with enterprise leaders. I'm available through LinkedIn, so I read messages and more than happy to support anyone who might be figuring things out right now as well. And I'm definitely happy to share my lessons learned and really support anyone who would be willing to reach out. I realized it's really important to give back. And there were some amazing individuals who been willing and gave a lot of their time and supported me. So I think it's my responsibility now to do the same for those who are looking. So happy to do that.
Fantastic. Julia Grace Samoylenko, founder and CEO at Asteri AI. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to 97% Effective, where we skip happy talk and help you break through and ascend one hard truth at a time. Help others discover this show. Leave a review and rating wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you like what you heard, you can get free resources, including the first chapters of Michael's book, Get Promoted, on his website, www.changwinderoth.com. That's www.changwenderoth.com.
This is a message from sponsor Intuit TurboTax. Taxes was waiting and wondering and worrying if you were ever going to get any money back. And then waiting, wondering, and worrying some more. Now Taxes is matching with a TurboTax expert who can do your taxes as soon as today. An expert who gives your taxes their undivided attention as they work on your return while you get real-time updates on their progress so you can focus on your day. An expert who will find you every deduction possible and file every form, every investment, everything with 100% accuracy. All so you can get the most money back guaranteed. No waiting, no wondering, no worries. Now this is Taxes. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live full service. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.